Good morning, Lee.
Hey, Tara.
Okay, so the cool thing about Kamala Harris picking Tim Walz is that this plan of hers to move to the middle totally dashed.
Yeah.
It's just not really believable that she's now a moderate. We started doing something we've never seen a politician do before. She flipped all of her major positions at once the same week in a single New York Times article where they gave her dispensation. We Catholics know what that is. Dispensation for the flip. Yeah, it's all good. It's a smart move, a cool tactic. If Trump suddenly flipped all his positions in a single week, they'd freak. But it's Kamala, so it's all good. So, you know, they have spent, what, a week now marketing, a little over a week marketing the new moderate Kamala Harris? Mm-hmm. Well, this dashes that all to heck. And I think this 10 seconds will be played till your ears bleed before the election.
But we can get out there, reach out, make the case. And for one thing, don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a great line there. You know, the problem is that socialism takes it from people. Neighborly, being neighborly is offering your services to your neighbor without the government intervening.
Right. And without you forcing your neighbor at the port of the gun take the services.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or do what you think is best for him. A perfect example of Tim Walz is this ridiculous snitch line that he ran during COVID. A snitch line, mind you. And so he had stay-at-home orders, all kinds of orders. You could turn your neighbors into the government. He left this snitch line active through June of 2022. Take a listen. This is what you would have heard if you called.
Hello, you have reached this the Department of Public Safety stay-at-home hotline. The information you leave is considered public information. At the tone, please leave the following information. Your name, your callback number, how the stay-at-home order is being violated, and where the stay-at-home order was violated. Thank you.
Record your message at the tone. When you are finished, hang up or press pound for more options.
So turn in your neighbors, your family members, like a good socialist.
Yeah, like a good neighbor.
Right. Like a good neighborly socialist.
Snitch. Yeah. Socialist snitch, yeah.
Yeah. And this, like, I don't even know where to begin with this guy. He passed a bill to fund 100% college education for illegal immigrants. In Minnesota, college education is free, is paid for by the government at state schools if your family makes combined less than $80,000 a year, including for illegal immigrants. Let that sink in. Including for illegal immigrants. Minnesota is the state that pioneered kidnapping of children for sex change operations and sterilization. So Minnesota, we've talked a lot about this. This was under him too. He signed it. And what it does is this. If your guidance counselor at school or your aunt or your neighbor down the street is sympathetic because your mom won't let you take those puberty blockers, your mom won't let you chop off your breast, that person can kidnap you, drive you to Minnesota. You become a ward of the state. They take over the minor's care. They become the consenting adult, essentially. And police are not allowed to arrest, according to law, the person who brought you. Let that sink in. That's state-sponsored kidnapping. And they're working on a bill, on a law like that in Maryland. That's why Attorney General Alan Wilson signed a letter warning them, don't do that. You can't kidnap kids from South Carolina and transition them. He also signed legislation allowing permanently disfiguring surgeries under the age of 18. This is radical, radical stuff. Again, the UK just did away with all that. They don't do it anymore there. It was appealed all the way up to their highest court. And those who want to disfigure children lost. So we are now, especially Minnesota, way to the left of the UK. And that's just the beginning of it. College for illegal immigrants. What if Trump wants to build a wall?
He talks about this wall. I always say, let me know how high it is. If it's 25 feet, then I'll invest in the 30-foot ladder factory.
Yeah.
So he's encouraging breaking of a law of the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, and he talks about, you know, Trump being a convicted felon.
Yeah.
Boy.
So this is not, and the media, they're trying. They're trying to spin him as this Midwestern good old boy. Did you see how they had him dressed in costume for the highly scripted phone call with Kamala Harris?
No, thankfully I missed that.
Yeah, they had him in a hunting cap, you know, like a ball cap
great.
With camo.
Yeah, nice.
Like he'd just come in from, you know, the blind and was headed back out there because he's very normal. He's a normal dude.
I guess he borrowed Joe Biden's double barrel shotgun.
Right, because how else would he have one? He's a hardcore liberal.
Mm-hmm.
That is who he is, but they're trying to remake him. Actually, I was doing another radio show as a guest on one, and the host asked me, how do you think their convention's going to go? And I said, badly. It's going to go badly. Because here's the thing. We don't have to hide who we are when we have our convention. We can say who we are and what we want to do.
Right.
That makes it a lot easier. They can't. And they can't control their loons. Not very well. Not the ones on the streets. Not the ones enacting the violence that they expected not to be arrested for, because that's what the Democrats have taught them. And not the ones behind the podium. What are you going to tell them? Hey, you know, like, just for the purposes of the convention, could you not tell the truth? It's going to be chock full of nuts. I'm telling you, it's not going to be a good convention for them.
Honestly, what is the point of having a convention? This is done. It's over with. I mean, it's not like there was a primary.
Yeah, good point.
And everybody has voted. No, we've had a virtual vote of delegates who were committed to another candidate who decided they weren't going to run. And now there's another candidate that has declared that they're going to run. And we're just going to do this virtually online. And then it's like, oh, why are we even having a convention? Why are they wasting the money? Why are they wasting the airtime?
Well, I know. So they can take the podium and lecture us on democracy.
Exactly. This is nothing. This convention, rather, should be considered an in-kind gift to the Democrat Party. Because the decision has already been made. There is no decision to be made at the convention. So all you're doing, as you just said, you are simply giving to the Democrat Party an opportunity to criticize their opposition. This should be considered nothing. And quite honestly, conventions are very much like this to begin with. But this one certainly is. It is nothing but free airtime, free commercial, and infomercial for the Democrat Party. Because the decision's already made. There's nothing to decide here.
And Democrats don't seem to notice their leaders are being picked for them. Have you noticed this? They don't seem too upset about it.
Yeah. What happened to that urge for democracy? This sure sounds like a dictatorship to me, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And Black Lives Matter explained it really well, to their credit. I read from the letter that the Democrat Party made it very hard for anyone else to get on the ballot in the primary so that Joe Biden would be the nominee. Had all the time in the world to let the voters choose. They didn't. And that's because the Democrat elites were afraid they would choose somebody that didn't answer to them. Probably somebody to the left of Bernie Sanders, yes, but somebody who didn't answer to them. They were terrified of that. They made sure nobody else could run in the primary. Kept Joe in place. Joe drops out at the last minute so they could pick somebody else who answers to them. All in an effort to make sure that a woman who incredibly has never gotten a single Democrat vote or Republican vote or independent vote or any vote of any kind at the national level, not even one vote. Not only served as vice president, is now the presidential nominee. And nobody on their side seems to notice the hypocrisy of this. Except Black Lives Matter, which wrote it down. They said, no, we need to have some kind of, you know, formal, informal, some sort of primary. And they were ignored. Funny how the white liberal elite can ignore you when it's convenient. And if they don't give you permission, you don't burn things down. They did not want Kamala. They objected to Kamala. You should read the letter. It's over the top. And I found myself agreeing with Black Lives Matter, and that was really weird. But, and then I wanted to burn something down, but it passed.
Glad you're able to get through that.
Yeah, I was. It was weird. I wanted to smell the smell of burning tires. It was strange. But anyway, like I said, it passed. But because they made so much sense. They said it's not democratic. They did not want Kamala Harris, that she had been chosen by the elites, not by them. No one ever voted for her. And they wanted a snap primary. And then everybody ignored them. And this time they didn't burn anything down, which goes to show you, Lee, what does that mean? They don't burn things down unless the white liberal elite give them permission to.
Right. Yeah.
Which is how it works. I'm not being sarcastic in that, but I'm literally serious.
Just like Walz did in Minnesota.
Just like Walz did in Minnesota. Do you realize he held back the National Guard, let them loot and burn.
Right. Because they wanted them to have an opportunity to express themselves.
Yes, expression. Let them, it's a right now. If you're a mad, angry liberal mob, you can hurt and burn and do whatever you want.
But if you're a conservative mob and you want to express yourself at the Capitol, you can't do that.
By taking a selfie, even though you didn't ruin anything, yes, you're looking at 3 years in prison, even if you're a grandma or you're pregnant.
And even if they let you in through the open door and escort you through the halls.
Even if the Capitol Police standing there waving you, come on in, come on, no, you're welcome. Yeah. Here, you want some coffee? Yeah. Just head over there to get the selfie. Yeah, right by the video camera. We fell for it, though. But anyway, so we'll have more on this coming up. So I was sitting here yesterday in the chair. I got my Fox News on, waiting to see if Kamala Harris would, pick a running mate. And Tim Walz comes on. This is running mate. Bam, pops up. And I'm like, my mouth is hanging open. And I'm like, my first thought was, wow. The internal polling on her must be awful. Folks, he is a second tier candidate at best. I'm being generous. I think it's really third tier. You ever heard of Tim Walz before? You ever seen this guy's mug? Do you recognize his face? Did you recognize it the first time he came on TV? I mean, look at me. I'm a political junkie. And I didn't have the volume up. And I was like, who? Why? He's third tier. This guy jumped at the chance to run with her because nobody else wanted to. Nobody else wanted to. Red State's the only one that got this right yesterday. Good for them. They call this a throwaway ticket. Throwaway ticket. You ever, we've been paying a lot of cards lately as a family. You ever have a throwaway card? We've actually been learning to play spades. In some rounds, you just got to, they've so clearly won, you got to throw a card away. Just, I'll get this one out of my pack. I'll get rid of it. This is a throwaway team, like a throwaway card in spades. That's what this is. Because the A team didn't want to run. And so yesterday, and I had read this around the edges and I kind of noticed it was going on. I briefly mentioned what happened with Roy Cooper, but I went and started pulling. Well, what happened to the A team? Where'd they go? Because all their names were being thrown around 2 weeks ago. Now they're like nowhere. They all quietly bowed out. I detailed that earlier when I go into depth on it in the Battleground America podcast. Some of them bowed out hilariously. I'm going to run down it again. But first, let me ask you, if you were the A team, okay, the future of the Democrat Party, people normal enough to present to other Americans, and they're running out of those. Gretchen Whitmer, Andy Beshears, Roy Cooper, Mark Kelly, gone. Just gone. Poof. All of them with nice excuses for why they just, don't have time to be vice president right now. But hey, call me later. And when I saw who she picked, I went, oh my gosh. Oh my God. The internal polling is worse than they're telling us. Let's remember who she is for a minute, okay? One of the biggest stories of the year politically was largely missed. It was done by the New York Post. Everybody got the top line on it, which was that Pelosi and Obama had come together in a coup and taken out Biden, which the mainstream media has now admitted. Okay, that's admitted. You go further down into the article and you find the rest, and that's the real story. That they pushed Biden out because they intended to push Mark Kelly forward. He'd have been a real problem for us. And Biden, or whoever controls him, endorsed Kamala to chop block them. This was described as a disaster in Obama's opinion in the New York Post article. A disaster. And it said Obama was furious because she's a worse candidate than he is. So if you're wondering why the A team quietly bowed out rather than being associated with her over the last couple of weeks, this is what they really think of her, okay? This is a montage of the mainstream media about Kamala over the last couple of years, 21 to the beginning of 24. This is who she really is. And Democrats know this.
There are reports that say that you have the lowest approval rating of any vice president.
Well, there are polls that also say I have great approval ratings.
Swing voters don't like Harris. How big a drag is Kamala Harris on the ticket?
She's a pretty big drag. I think she was arguably Biden's worst political decision.
They don't like her. There's lots of reasons they don't like her.
Kamala Harris's approval rating is now at 28%, which is an historic low for any modern vice president.
We're hearing it from mainstream media, one outlet after another, one league after another, that Kamala Harris is the worst vice president ever, the worst politician ever.
We don't see the vice president. What people are saying to me, and I'm sure they're saying it to you, where's the vice president? Some White House officials are feeling that she came off looking unprepared for inevitable questions about when she might visit the southern border.
We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
The point that Lester Holt was making was obvious to anyone else who was watching this interview, which is that the issues at the border are inextricably linked with the portfolio that she's been given.
The border is secure. We have a secure border.
Bidenomics is working.
That's who she is. They know it. But I have wondered if they've managed to rehabilitate her over the last couple of weeks, just given what the polls say, right? Because, I mean, the polls get very fake around this time. You only need to see one thing to know. They're trash. They're awful. She had to pick Tim Walz. She had to pick Tampon Tim. Because no one else wanted it. No one else wanted it. Texter writes, that montage is really old. It's from years ago. Yeah, that's what I just said. That's the point. When they weren't lying because they didn't know they had to. They didn't know. They never thought this woman was ever. Look, folks, the reason Kamala Harris was saying all of this wild stuff over the last couple of years, why we have such great video on her, great audio clips on her, she never thought she's going to run for president. A person with 28% approval rating doesn't run for president. She thought she was done a year ago. So she was herself. She said what she actually believes. She's not supposed to be the nominee right now. Joe said, hey, if I got to go, I'm going to screw y'all. You know why? Because Joe's legacy. Joe doesn't want the Democrats to win now. He doesn't want it confirmed he was the worst president, one of the worst presidents of all time. He had to step down because of it. And look, somebody else who was a Democrat who was better than him won. His interest now is in defeating whoever it is and making sure they have the weakest candidate. And it's her. They didn't want her. And these candidates over the last couple of weeks got a look. The tier one candidates who will be talked about as potential presidential nominees themselves got a look at the internal polling, and they ran for the hills. And this guy was the best she could do. That's it. It's that simple. Look at him. You want to run with that? Unattractive, no gravitas. Looks like that angry, crazy socialist college professor you had. You know the type. The one old dude who shows up to the protest, he's angry. You can see it on his face. His anger lines are etched into his face. He's been a socialist all his life. And he thinks other people are stupid because they can't understand the way he thinks. When the way he thinks is what's wrong. And it makes him angry, and he gets angrier and angrier and angrier. It's the seething rage Rush Limbaugh used to talk about. You can see it on his face. He looks like a nasty person. Nobody wants to run with him. You don't know his face, and you haven't heard his name because they've never pushed him nationally. They don't want you to notice him nationally. Why would she pick him? This totally undermines her. She'd be better off running without a vice presidential candidate. Why? Because she needs to transition to the middle badly, and this chop blocks that. He may be more radical than her, and that's saying something. Texter writes, I can't wait for the vice presidential debate between a Marine that served in Iraq and a reservist who resigned from his unit when notified of deployment from Iraq. Oh, by the way, they're building him up as a good old boy from the Midwest who's, you know, hunter, soldier, blah, 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 blah. But what's the truth? MSNBC knows. I'll tell you next. I'm telling you, Tim Walz is who she had to pick. Nobody else wanted to do it. She could not find another governor to run with. She couldn't do it. They all fled for the hills. And I could run down each one of them for you. It's actually kind of funny watching it. The excuses that they had. And keep in mind, less than, 4 weeks ago, all these people were hanging out, okay? They had people calling delegates. They were sending crews to lobby. They all wanted to run. Why? Because they're tier one. They're tier one. And they knew the fix was in the one I told you about in December, that they would replace Joe Biden. I even told you when Joe Biden would drop out. I nailed it to the week. They've all known about this, okay? Who was hanging out? Gavin Newsom. You seen him for a while? No, he's gone. Why is he gone? Because he didn't want anything to do with Kamala. She was not supposed to be their nominee. The New York Post explained that. Joe Biden gigged them with her. They did not expect him to endorse her. It was actually kind of brilliant, whoever came up with it. Okay, so Roy Cooper, you know Roy Cooper. He's the governor of North Carolina, right? Democrat. Manages to win in a purple, trending red state. Talented politician. He's absolutely tier one. Says he wants to finish out his term as governor. And he'd love to be vice president. But he wants, how many months are left in his term? Four. Not years, months. He said, yeah, this Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, he's kind of a radical. If I was to step down to run, he's already Lieutenant Governor. He might take over the state. So I can't go anywhere. Do you believe that? Do you believe he'd just love to be vice president and all on her ticket? But he's just got to watch out for Mark Robinson. No, he doesn't. He doesn't want anywhere near this woman. He dropped out 2 weeks ago so that nobody would associate him with her about a week and a half ago. He don't want to be associated. What about Gretchen Whitmer? She had sent teams to lobby delegates, work on the Democrat leadership. Now, suddenly, she has discovered that she wants to finish her term because she told her constituents she would. Sure didn't care about that a couple weeks ago when she thought there was going to be a blitz primary. She's the governor of Michigan, state Kamala really needs, but she's very busy, you understand. What about Andy Beshear? I actually asked myself that yesterday. I said, you know what? His name was thrown around early on. I mean, really early on. Right around the time of the coup against Joe Biden, where they thought they'd replace Joe Biden. Obama did with Mark Kelly. Andy Beshear, it turns out, quietly disappeared himself from the competition. Again, last week, didn't even fly in for an interview. And you should just read the article, but it's funny. The media's like, why didn't he fly in for an interview? That's weird. I don't know. He's a Democrat candidate that managed to win Kentucky. Shame on us. Quietly disappeared himself in the competition last week. Why? Yet again, did not want his name mentioned with hers. Gavin Newsom. Man, that guy hangs out around presidential politics like a fly on dung. You heard from him lately? He's gone. You notice he's completely disappeared from the campaign trail. Why? He doesn't want to be associated with her. And Mark Kelly is too valuable, but he himself also disappeared. Normally, if you're primping for that, you remember what the last week was like before they picked J.D. Vance and J.D. Vance and Tim Scott and Marco Rubio and that Doug Burgum, they were everywhere. They were giving interviews. They were showing, hey, this is what it would be like if I was a surrogate for you. They were obviously in the running. They were fighting it out. They were on TV at round the clock somewhere. You seen any of these people? No, they don't want to be associated with her. Walz was the only one of gubernatorial stature who would do it because Walz is never going to get this chance again. She wasn't supposed to be the nominee. Nobody who's a tier one candidate and the nominee would ever pick a Tim Walz. Why would you? The Democrats are going to win Minnesota. They always win Minnesota. Not going to happen. His record is a disaster. The clips out there are it's like manna from heaven falling. So they're lying this morning. They're spinning and they're lying. They're saying, she needed a Midwestern boy, to help moderate. Yeah, that's what she needed. Even MSNBC laughed at that one. Take a listen to who they say Walz is. He's not popular. in rural areas. He's not popular with the voters that she needs in these Midwest states.
Now, here's the key, because this county, Democrats used to be much more competitive in. Look at this. In 2012, Barack Obama won 43% of the vote in this county. It was only a little bit more than 10 points that he lost to Romney by here. The floor fell out for Democrats here when Trump came along in that Clinton race in 2016, and they haven't recovered it since. And that Walz performance here, it's a little less than Biden's number, and it's a far cry from what Obama was doing here. And again, I'm showing you one. This is a stand-in for dozens of counties in Minnesota where you saw the same thing with large rural populations, blue-collar white populations, where Obama, and some of them he was winning, others he was holding his own just a dozen years ago. This is where Democrats have lost ground. You know, look at his electoral history. Tim Walz is in 2022, and the idea that he's got this automatic appeal with these small-town areas in those three key battleground states, you don't see it in what he actually did on the ballot in 2022. Now,
did you hear that? Did you catch the key part? MSNBC, y'all, that's their elections analyst. Underperformed Biden. Biden did better than him. So why are they saying she had to pick him? Because, you know, Midwest boy and all that. It's a cover story. She had to pick him because she couldn't get anyone else to do it. And they know it. They know it. She was going to have to dip into like mayors at that point. Because nobody who considers themselves to have a viable political future wants to be even associated with her. Why? The internal polling is horrific. It's a bloodbath. It's not what they're telling you. And that confirmed that for me yesterday. And the Democrats are so anti-Semitic that Shapiro was just a non-starter. By the way, Tim Walz, good luck selling him. Do you know what he said about rural voters? That rural areas consist of, quote, mostly rocks and cows. That's what he thinks of people who don't live in big blue cities. And Line got to be so notorious in rural Minnesota that rural Minnesotans band together, formed a group called Rocks and Cows of Minnesota, and sold merchandise and erected anti-Walz billboards all across the state. This is the guy they're going to try to sell as a good old boy. It's not going to work. Let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Text writes, I saw Tim Walz was arrested for drunk driving and pretended he couldn't hear. Yes, he pretended he was deaf. Texture rates, only reason that Roy Cooper from North Carolina and Andy Beshear from Kentucky are popular is they both had veto-proof conservative legislatures. All of their progressive agendas were voted down, so they didn't have to enact any progressive legislation. Yeah. Texture rates, I feel sorry for all of the ones who continue to vote for someone like Biden, want to vote for Harris, and the ones who voted for Walz in Minnesota. Remind me of little Oliver. Please, sir, may I have some more? Texture rates, did you see he calls the normal and rural voters rocks and cows? Yes, I just reported that. Actually became kind of famous in Minnesota. Have you noticed, by the way, this obsession that the left has with normalcy now? It's all they talk about. In terms of projecting onto us that we're not normal. Why? Because the polling is telling them. The polling is telling them voters don't think they're normal. And what they do, Cloward Piven, is accuse you of, as Lee always says, what is going on with them. And that is what they're seeing repeatedly in the polls. So it's in their talking points now. And you hear it on CNN. Well, Walz's superpower, according to CNN, his real gift and talent is that he's normal. Think about that. His talent is that he's normal. His best thing about him is that he's normal, says CNN. This shows you where the Democrats actually are in their internal polling. She's impressed. He seems so normal. Yeah, unlike the rest of us Democrats. Well, listen to Scott Jennings, who's a commentator on CNN, just turn this right back around on Walz after the CNN talking head says, yeah, he's great because he's so normal.
One of his friends told me this morning that his superpower is how normal he is.
How normal he is.
Is he? I mean, I don't know. I don't know this guy. I mean, is it normal to let your biggest city in your state burn while you're the governor for 4 days, destroying thousands of businesses, hundreds of millions of dollars in property damage while you do nothing? Is that, does that sound normal? Is it normal for your wife to say she opened the window so she could let the smell of tire fires waft in so they could take in the smells of this radical chaos and anarchy on the streets of Minneapolis? I don't view any of that as normal. I look at this through the lens of decision making. And in two cases, they've showed us who they are. Kamala Harris absolutely bowed down to the radical left in her party by not picking Shapiro, who is Jewish. There was a nasty campaign run against him. Everybody knows it. No one wants to admit it, but everybody knows it.
And we've
talked about that. She wound up choosing the person who was not Jewish and not as talented and not from the state that she has to win. He did a nice job tonight. Everybody can see why he was the best choice, but she couldn't do it. Because the party is...
I'm telling you, Tim Walz is who she had to pick. Nobody else wanted to do it. She could not find another governor to run with. She couldn't do it. They all fled for the hills. And I could run down each one of them for you. It's actually kind of funny watching it. The excuses that they had. And keep in mind... Less than, 4 weeks ago, all these people were hanging out, okay? They had people calling delegates. They were sending crews to lobby. They all wanted to run. Why? Because they're tier one. They're tier one. And they knew the fix was in the one I told you about in December, that they would replace Joe Biden. I even told you when Joe Biden would drop out, I nailed it to the week. They've all known about this, okay? Who was hanging out? Gavin Newsom. You seen him for a while? No, he's gone. Why is he gone? Because he don't want anything to do with Kamala. She was not supposed to be their nominee. The New York Post explained that. Joe Biden gigged them with her. They did not expect him to endorse her. It was actually kind of brilliant, whoever came up with it. Okay, so Roy Cooper, you know Roy Cooper. He's the governor of North Carolina, right? Democrat. Manages to win in a purple... trending red state, talented politician. He's absolutely tier one. Says he wants to finish out his term as governor. And he'd love to be vice president, but how many months are left in his term? Four. Not years, months. He said, yeah, this Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, he's kind of a radical. If I was to step down to run, he's already Lieutenant Governor. He might take over the state. So, I can't go anywhere. Do you believe that? Do you believe he'd just love to be vice president and all on her ticket? But he's just got to watch out for Mark Robinson. No, he doesn't. He doesn't want anywhere near this woman. He dropped out 2 weeks ago so that nobody would associate him with her about a week and a half ago. He don't want to be associated. What about Gretchen Whitmer? She had sent teams to lobby delegates, work on the Democrat leadership. Now, suddenly, she has discovered that she wants to finish her term because she told her constituents she would. Sure didn't care about that a couple weeks ago when she thought there was going to be a blitz primary. She's the governor of Michigan, state Kamala really needs, but she's very busy, you understand. What about Andy Beshear? I actually asked myself that yesterday. I said, you know what? His name was thrown around early on. I mean, really early on. Right around the time of the coup against Joe Biden, where they thought they'd replace Joe Biden, Obama did with Mark Kelly. Andy Beshear, it turns out, quietly disappeared himself from the competition. Again, last week, didn't even fly in for an interview. And you should just read the article, but it's funny. The media's like, why didn't he fly in for an interview? That's weird. I don't know. He's a Democrat candidate that managed to win Kentucky. Shame on us. Quietly disappeared himself from the competition last week. Why? Yet again, did not want his name mentioned with hers. Gavin Newsom. Man, that guy hangs out around presidential politics like a fly on dung. You heard from him lately? He's gone. You notice he's completely disappeared from the campaign trail. Why? He doesn't want to be associated with her. And Mark Kelly is too valuable, but he himself also disappeared. Normally, if you're primping for that, you remember what the last week was like before they picked J.D. Vance and J.D. Vance and Tim Scott and Marco Rubio and that Doug Burgum, they were everywhere. They were giving interviews. They were showing, hey, this is what it would be like if I was a surrogate for you. They were obviously in the running. They were fighting it out. They were on TV at round o'clock somewhere. You seen any of these people? No, they don't want to be associated with her. Walz was the only one of gubernatorial stature who would do it because Walz is never going to get this chance again. She wasn't supposed to be the nominee. Nobody who's a tier one candidate and the nominee would ever pick a Tim Walz. Why would you? The Democrats are going to win Minnesota. They always win Minnesota. It's not going to happen. His record is a disaster. The clips out there are like, I mean, it's like manna from heaven falling. So they're lying this morning. They're spinning and they're lying. They're saying, well, you know, she needed a Midwestern boy, to help moderate. Yeah, that's what she needed. Even MSNBC laughed at that one. Take a listen to who they say Walz is. He's not popular in rural areas. He's not popular with the voters that she needs in these Midwest states.
Now, here's the key, because this county, Democrats used to be much more competitive in. Look at this. In 2012, Barack Obama won 43% of the vote in this county. It was only a little bit more than 10 points that he lost to Romney by here. The floor fell out for Democrats here when Trump came along in that Clinton race in 2016, and they haven't recovered it since. And that Walz performance here, it's a little less than Biden's number, and it's a far cry from what Obama was doing here. And again, I'm showing you one. This is a stand-in for dozens of counties in Minnesota where you saw the same thing with large rural populations, blue-collar white populations, where Obama, and some of them he was winning, others he was holding his own just a dozen years ago. This is where Democrats have lost ground. You know, look at his electoral history. Tim Walz is in 2022, and the idea that he's got this automatic appeal with these small-town areas in those three key battleground states, you don't see it in what he actually did on the ballot in 2022. Now,
did you hear that? Did you catch the key part? MSNBC, y'all, that's their elections analyst. Underperformed Biden. Biden did better than him. So why are they saying she had to pick him? Because, you know, Midwest boy and all that. It's a cover story. She had to pick him because she couldn't get anyone else to do it. And they know it. They know it. She was going to have to dip into like mayors at that point. Because nobody who considers themselves to have a viable political future wants to be even associated with her. Why? The internal polling is horrific. It's a bloodbath. It's not what they're telling you. And that confirmed that for me yesterday. And the Democrats are so anti-Semitic that Shapiro was just a non-starter. By the way, Tim Walz, good luck selling him. Do you know what he said about rural voters? That rural areas consist of, quote, mostly rocks and cows. That's what he thinks of people who don't live in big blue cities. And Line got to be so notorious in rural Minnesota that rural Minnesotans band together, formed a group called Rocks and Cows of Minnesota and sold merchandise and erected anti-Walz billboards all across the state. This is the guy they're going to try to sell as a good old boy. It's not going to work. Let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Text writes, I saw Tim Walz was arrested for drunk driving and pretended he couldn't hear. Yes, he pretended he was deaf. Texture rates, only reason that Roy Cooper from North Carolina and Andy Beshear from Kentucky are popular is they both had veto-proof conservative legislatures. All of their progressive agendas were voted down, so they didn't have to enact any progressive legislation. Yeah. Texture rates, I feel sorry for all of the ones who continue to vote for someone like Biden, want to vote for Harris, and the ones who voted for Walz in Minnesota. Remind me of little Oliver. Please, sir, may I have some more? Texter rates, did you see he calls the normal and rural voters rocks and cows? Yes, I just reported that. Actually became kind of famous in Minnesota. Have you noticed, by the way, this obsession that the left has with normalcy now? It's all they talk about. In terms of projecting onto us that we're not normal. Why? Because the polling is telling them. The polling is telling them voters don't think they're normal. And what they do, Cloward Piven, is accuse you of, as Lee always says, what is going on with them. And that is what they're seeing repeatedly in the polls. So it's in their talking points now. And you hear it on CNN. Well, Wall's superpower, according to CNN, his real gift and talent is that he's normal. Think about that. His talent is that he's normal. His best thing about him is that he's normal, says CNN. This shows you where the Democrats actually are in their internal polling. She's impressed. He seems so normal. Yeah, unlike the rest of us Democrats. Well, listen to Scott Jennings, who's a commentator on CNN, just turn this right back around on Walls after the CNN talking head says, yeah, he's great because he's so normal.
One of his friends told me this morning that his superpower is how normal he is.
How normal he is.
Is he? I mean, I don't know. I don't know this guy. I mean, is it normal to let your biggest city in your state burn while you're the governor for 4 days, destroying thousands of businesses, hundreds of millions of dollars in property damage while you do nothing? Is that, does that sound normal? Is it normal for your wife to say she opened the window so she could let the smell of tire fires waft in so they could take in the smells of this radical chaos and anarchy on the streets of Minneapolis? I don't view any of that as normal. I look at this through the lens of decision making. And in two cases, they've showed us who they are. Kamala Harris, absolutely bowed down to the radical left in her party by not picking Shapiro, who is Jewish. There was a nasty campaign run against him. Everybody knows it. No one wants to admit it, but everybody knows it.
And she
wound up choosing the person who was not Jewish and not as talented and not from the state that she has to win. He did a nice job tonight. Everybody can see why he was the best choice, but she couldn't do it because the party is somewhat awash in anti-Semitism. You know, and for Walls, when he did what he did during the riots, to me, it was him saying, I don't have the strength or the character to stand up to this anarchy. So in two big decision points for this ticket.
Let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Text writes, I saw Tim Walls was arrested for drunk driving and pretended he couldn't hear. Yes, he pretended he was deaf. Texture rates, only reason that Roy Cooper from North Carolina and Andy Beshear from Kentucky are popular is they both had veto-proof conservative legislatures. All of their progressive agendas were voted down, so they didn't have to enact any progressive legislation. Yeah. Texture rates, I feel sorry for all of the ones who continue to vote for someone like Biden, want to vote for Harris, and the ones who voted for Walls in Minnesota. Remind me of little Oliver. Please, sir, may I have some more? Texture rates, did you see he calls the normal and rural voters rocks and cows? Yes, I just reported that. Actually became kind of famous in Minnesota. Have you noticed, by the way, this obsession that the left has with normalcy now? It's all they talk about. In terms of projecting onto us that we're not normal. Why? Because the polling is telling them. The polling is telling them voters don't think they're normal. And what they do, Cloward Piven, is accuse you of, as Lee always says, what is going on with them. And that is what they're seeing repeatedly in the polls. So it's in their talking points now. And you hear it on CNN. Well, Wall's superpower, according to CNN, his real gift and talent is that he's normal. Think about that. His talent is that he's normal. His best thing about him is that he's normal, says CNN. This shows you where the Democrats actually are in their internal polling. She's impressed. He seems so normal. Yeah, unlike the rest of us Democrats. Well, listen to Scott Jennings, who's a commentator on CNN, just turn this right back around on Walls after the CNN talking head says, yeah, he's great because he's so normal.
One of his friends told me this morning that his superpower is how normal he is.
How normal he is.
Is he? I mean, I don't know. I don't know this guy. I mean, is it normal to let your biggest city in your state burn while you're the governor for 4 days, destroying thousands of businesses, hundreds of millions of dollars in property damage, while you do nothing? Is that, does that sound normal? Is it normal for your wife to say she opened the window so she could let the smell of tire fires waft in so they could take in the smells of this radical chaos and anarchy on the streets of Minneapolis? I don't view any of that as normal. I look at this through the lens of decision-making. And in two cases, they've showed us who they are. Kamala Harris absolutely bowed down to the radical left in her party by not picking Shapiro, who is Jewish. There was a nasty campaign run against him. Everybody knows it. No one wants to admit it, but everybody knows it.
And she talked about
that. She wound up choosing the person who was not Jewish and not as talented and not from the state that she has to win. He did a nice job tonight. Everybody can see why he was the best choice, but she couldn't do it because the party is somewhat awash in anti-Semitism. And for Walz, when he did what he did during the riots, to me, it was him saying, I don't have the strength or the character to stand up to this anarchy. So in two big decision points for this ticket,